do greet each one that is with us this morning. Thankful for each visitor that is out, each one the Lord has given safety of travel to be back in the house of the Lord and gathered together this morning. Forgo normal announcements, except to say that the services at Brookhaven are canceled this afternoon. So note that. I think I've already told everybody usually goes, but just in case anybody else was thinking of it today, we will not be going over there today. We'll resume next month. So take note of that. I'd like to read here in the book of Lamentations, chapter 1, a few verses to begin here this morning. How doth the city sit solitary that was full of people? How is she become as a widow? She that was great among the nations and princess among the provinces, how has she become tributary? She weepeth sore in the night, and her tears are on her cheeks. Among all her lovers she hath none to comfort her. All her friends have dealt treacherously with her. They are become her enemies. Judah is gone into captivity because of affliction and because of great servitude. She dwelleth among the heathen. She findeth no rest. All her persecutors overtook her between the straits. The ways of Zion do mourn because none come to the solemn feast. All her gates are desolate. Her priests sigh. Her virgins are afflicted. And she is in bitterness. Her adversaries are the chief. Her enemies prosper, for the Lord hath afflicted her for the multitude of her transgressions. Her children are gone into captivity before the enemy. And from the daughter of Zion all her beauty is departed. Her princes are become like carts that find no pasture. They are gone without strength before the pursuer. Read verse 12. It is nothing to you all, is it nothing to you, all ye that pass by? Behold and see if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow, which is done unto me. Wherewith the Lord hath afflicted me in the day of his fierce anger. From above hath he sent fire into my bones, and it prevaileth against them. He hath spread a net for my feet, he hath turned me back. He hath made me desolate and faint all the day. The yoke of my transgressions is bound by his hand, they are wreathed and come up upon my neck. He hath made my strength to fall, the Lord hath delivered me into their hands, from whom I am not able to rise up. The Lord hath trodden underfoot all my mighty men in the midst of me. He hath called an assembly against me to crush my young men. The Lord hath trodden the virgin, the daughter of Judah, as in a winepress. For these things I weep. Mine eye, runneth down with water. Obviously, we will step aside from our looking at the ministry of Christ with this reading that should be fairly obvious this morning. There's a burden on our heart we want to share today. I do apologize to those visiting with us. It won't be a normal type sermon, if you will, that our people are used to. But in this reading, we find the prophet Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet. We find him true to form, as we read in verse 16, weeping, crying. We find tears running down his cheeks because of the condition of his people, because of the state of affairs in Jerusalem and his land. He had a burdened heart for what was transpiring all around him. And likewise, the hearts of God's people the world over today should be aflame, should be lit on fire, not just burning with love and desire for Christ, not just aflame with a desire for His Word to take it in, not just burning with a zeal to come before the throne of God in prayer. All those things should be. But the hearts of His people should be on fire with zeal today to be equal to the challenge that we are faced with at present. Jeremiah in verse number 13 says, from above, He that is being God has sent fire into my bones? Where is the fire today in the hearts of the people of God? Where is the fire, the passion, the ardor, the zeal, the hearts of the members of His churches? Where is that fire burning today that should be driving us to stand against the evil that is present in our society? Today our heart is burdened, but it is burdened and it is burning not simply because of the times in which we live, not simply because our country has died, not simply because of the lack of any morality or because our society has become anti-God. All of those things have a part in this. But our heart is burdened the greatest today over the mindset, the preparedness, and the dedication of God's people to face these times that we have been called to serve the Lord in. We, like Jeremiah, have shed tears over the current condition of our country. We have grieved, we have mourned, we have felt the sense of loss that has built for years and has culminated over the last months. We have been to that place and we continue to be there. But what is burdening our heart the greatest at this time is that in the lives of the people of God, in the lives of the membership of this church, we must ask and we must consider, do we have the right mindset, the right preparation? Are we dedicated unto the cause that stands before us in order that we might be successful to glorify God in these difficult times? And as I look around and I see the landscape of the Lord's churches and I hear pastors preach and talk and I examine my own heart and life and the lives of God's people here, it causes me great concern. Because when we consider that level of dedication that is needed, that level of preparedness, even that mindset that is necessary to be equal to the times that are at hand, we find it lacking. We find it lacking so very much because there is no fire. There is no fire in our bones today as it needs to be. We are comfortable today. We are at ease in Zion, as the prophet wrote in Isaiah. We are at ease in the Lord's churches today, and because we are American, we have been at ease for many years. We have had an experience in our lives that is unparalleled in the history, really, of the Lord's churches and Christianity at large, because we have been at ease. It has been a comfortable thing to serve God here in this country. It has been an easy thing to a great degree over the course of our lives. But from that ease, we have found complacency. From that ease, we have found that we don't have much fire in the bones. And when we see things transpire the way that they have over the course of these last months and last years, and we live in the country that we now do, why are we not on fire? Why are we not boiling over, ready to stand, ready to defend, ready to serve? I know this is a topic that we have spoke of seemingly much over recent days. Had no intention of speaking on this subject this morning. We intended fully on getting back into the progression of the ministry of Christ. But at the conference that some of us attended over the last few days, something remarkable took place that I've never experienced before. As we arrived Thursday evening, Brother Gordon got up and he preached, his title being, "What is a Child of God to Do?" And you know Brother Gordon, he doesn't leave or hold anything back. He preached what may move up to the top of my list to be the greatest sermon I've ever heard. About where our country is, about the death of America, about the many things that have transpired, all the while asking the question, what is a child of God to do living in this day that we live in this country? Brother Asbury followed him Thursday evening. You know Brother Asbury very much at all. He seldom ever preaches without talking about his country and the current affairs of things. While he didn't necessarily have a title, Brother Asbury preached about the times of our nation, about even going back to the roles of churches and pastors in the American Revolution, standing against the tyranny of government, the enslavement of the people that we are experiencing today, even speaking about the demon possession that's gripping our nation. And so these two men had preached not just the same theme, not just a seed thought that had flowed through and tied in here and tied in there. They preached the same exact thought, the same almost exact title. And it really got my attention because the Lord had already given me a message. And I really wanted to preach Thursday night because of it, but had to wait, of course. But the Lord had spoken to us weeks ago and had been delivering to us thoughts from the book of Esther that we had been preaching on Wednesday evenings. And you know, if you've been there and heard those messages about how applicable to the times the book of Esther is to our day today. And so the Lord had us to preach and begin with the question from Esther 1 in verse 13 through 15, where the king asks the wise men, which knew the times, what shall we do? And our point was needing to have Mordecai Christianity in Babylonian times. Mix three called men of God living in different places, not speaking about or talking about what they would preach the very same thing, same title, with a few different wordings. And then Brother Clarence Grigsby followed us Friday morning. And he gets up and turns to Romans 8:28, and he announces that the title of his message is, what do we do now? And he continued to preach the same thing. And oh, how it was amazing to hear from God in that fashion. Of course, anytime God's man speaks from the Word of God, it's coming from God, we ought to listen. As he begins to exclamate it by having other men of God around the same thought and thinking about the same things, we ought to really heighten our sense of paying attention and learning. But as God continues to put the exclamation points upon that thought and begin to continue to work in our hearts, we ought to really understand. And what it did, at least for me, was it did exactly what it says to Jeremiah here, set a fire. Because I knew that I wasn't the only one that had been thinking and preaching along the lines in which we have. Some may get tired of hearing some of the same thoughts or around the same subjects presented, but I tell you what, today that's what we need. Our hearts need to be on fire, considering the times, considering the fight that is before us. Our pulpits need to be on fire, challenging the people of God to stand up in this time. And as we went through the rest of the conference, many others, of course, came upon this subject and preached about it in different ways. As we left, trying to consider things to preach this morning, just couldn't get away from this. Because what I want, and what I want really isn't relevant, but what I want this morning is for each of you to feel exactly what I felt Exactly what the others that were there felt Thursday and Friday as God spoke and said unto us, wake up and realize. Wake up and get ready. Wake up and understand that you're not ready. And so the message burning in our heart and in our mind today is simply this: am I ready? Am I ready? As was so well preached at the conference and we have touched on, we live in a country now that is totally against God. There is no other way to put it. This country is dead. You say, well, it's still going on. Yeah, I realize that. But as we look at things and understand things, this country is dead. We are to the point now where God is actively working against America. It's no longer, God bless you, still hear people say, politicians especially, God bless America. He's done that for years. America turned its back upon God, and now God not only has turned His back upon America, but He is actively working against her. You say, I don't believe God does that. What did we just read here? This was Israel, God's people, God's nation. And He says that I have put them in bondage. So I've trodden them underfoot. I have brought them into servitude of other nations. Oh, how we need to grasp this reality unlike we ever have before. And I think to a degree we all do understand somewhat what has happened in our country in recent days. But to a person here this morning, I would venture to say that very few, if any of us, are actually ready for what that means. Oh, we can actively embrace the fact, okay, our country is gone from God, God is against her. I get that, times are tough, Christ is coming back, but I don't know that we've actually actively thought about what that means. About that, what that means that I've got to do. That I've got to be ready for, that I've got to be prepared against. Take heart and know that Christ is coming back. But how much of this war are we going to have to see and be a part of, I don't know. But I better be ready to fight it. Am I ready? I ask myself that question. Am I ready as a pastor? Am I ready as a husband? Am I ready as a father? As a church member, as a Christian, am I ready? Is my home ready? Is my church ready? Have I made the preparations? Have I went through the thought process in my mind about what lie ahead? I don't know that we've really done that. We like to continue on in our place of comfort and ease and think that, well, you know, Christ is coming back. I don't have to worry about what's coming next. Got to wake up and shake out of that. Those men preaching those messages really focused my attention on that. And that's what we need. Ezekiel chapter 22 and verse number 30, the Lord says, well, let's just turn over there. We're not too far from Ezekiel. Ezekiel 22. Ezekiel 22 and verse number 30. Here, there's more prophesying here. There's more pouring out of judgment of things to come upon Israel. Ezekiel 22 and verse 30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. There was still hope for Israel because of who she was. May offend some to say this, but there is no hope for America. There is none. But here's what I have to say, though. Unlike Israel, we are not tied to this country. Think about that. Jeremiah was in bondage. Jeremiah was going down with his nation
because he could not separate himself as a Jew from Israel. He couldn't do it. They were one and the same. And so as they went down into bondage, as they were taken into Babylon, as things got terrible, Jeremiah was right there with them. He was suffering. He was persecuted. There was nothing he could do but go down with the ship. But that's not so today. We do not have to die along with America. We don't have to go down with the country. We are able to stand and fight for God. We are able to stand and be faithful for the Lord in this time. And we do not have to go down with her. I'm here today to tell you, though, that there will be many that do. There will be many Christians that go down with her. There will be many churches that go down with her. Because they are not ready to separate themselves from the death of this country. They're not ready to leave all of that behind. The question is, are we? Here in Ezekiel, the Lord says, I sought for a man to stand in the gap, to make up the hedge. Where are those men and women today that will stand up, that will make up the hedge? The hedge not around America that will save the land, that's a lost cause, but the people that will stand and make a hedge around our churches and around our homes, around our families, knowing that the rest of the country is gone away from God, is fighting against God, and hates, absolutely hates everything to do with God and His people. Where are the people that will stand in the gap and make up the hedge? Unless you mean, or think that I mean, I'm talking about everywhere else, I mean right here. Where are the people that will stand up and make up the hedge and fill the gap? Where are they? Oh, how we need to stand up and say, I am that person. I will, by God's grace, stand in that gap. I will, by God's grace, make up that hedge that this land, not our country, but this land, this church, my family, my home, will be saved in this time of great destruction. It has never been more important, and we have never had a greater decision to make. But it's time to decide today. It really is. It's time to decide where we stand. It's time for you. It's time for me. It's time for every individual member of this church, every one of God's children, to decide where they stand. Because listening to those men preach, it wasn't just one man having a burden and people thinking, well, he's just a crazy old preacher. Well, it wasn't that. But consistently the same message about the same things, making us to realize that if we don't stand, we are going down with this country. Say, well, God's promised that His churches will survive. When He returns, He'll find at least one. You know what? He hasn't promised that one will be in America if she even still exists. You don't have the guarantee that this church will be here until Christ returns. We could, if we don't stand up and fight against and fight for the truth, we could go right down with her. We very well could. We got to be ready to fight. We got to be ready to stand against those things that are coming against us because it's here. It is. It's here. For years we heard warnings about what will be, about what we need to be ready for, and about the time in which may come, and we'd go back into our comfortable homes and our comfortable jobs and our comfortable cars, and we'd forget all about it until the next time a crazy old preacher would say, you know what's going to happen in time to come? And then we'd think about it for another minute and then we'd slip back. Well, I'm here to tell you this morning, it's not just the crazy old preachers, but there's some crazy young ones too that are saying our country is against us. And we had better realize that it is a serious time and we need to be serious about what we're doing. We no longer have the luxury, not that it was ever right, but we no longer have the luxury of serving both masters. It's always been preached against, but people have always done it. We need to have one singular focus if we are to survive as a church today. One singular focus. And that is the truth. That is God. And that is worshiping Him in this place. By this place, I mean wherever the church meets together. One singular focus. We don't have time today. We don't have the luxury today to get distracted by Junior's baseball games and by our careers and by family members that don't want us to serve God and that pull us back. We don't have time for that today. We had better get serious or else we are going to die. And get drugged down with this country as it continues its death spiral. It's time for us to decide just how important the things of God are to us. Stop playing. Stop thinking another day, another time when things are easier. We need to quit all that. And put it aside. It's time for us to decide just how important this church is to us. We've had it easy, so easy that we have been able to serve God and not need each other outside of Sunday and Wednesdays for the most part. I argue against that, but you know what I'm saying. We are at the time, even now, where we are at this moment, that is no longer the case. And if we are to survive as a church, we desperately need each other here in this place. Got to quit caring about what's going on everywhere else. Quit living other people's lives. Quit thinking about what they're doing and what they're experiencing. And start being more concerned about the here and the now in this place. In this time. It's time for us to decide just how committed we are to worshiping. It's time for us to decide how committed we are to the beliefs and the convictions we have. I'm telling you, this today, right now, needs to be a watershed moment that you look back on the rest of your life and realize, you know, before that day, you know, I served God and I did those things and I did the best I could, but that day I realized just how serious the times are. My life changed that day. It's what it needs to be today. Go over to Romans chapter 13. I realize that this is not a pleasant thing to consider and think about. Oh, we want to hear encouragement. We want to hear good stuff. We want to, you know, be lifted up. We want all of that. That has its place. But I'm telling you what, the times we are in now, it is not a comfortable or an easy thing to serve the Lord. It is not a comfortable or an easy thing to worship the Lord. And it's only going to get worse day by day by day. Romans 13, verse number 11. This verse was read a couple times at the conference, but I want to draw something different out of it a little bit. And that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believe. The night is far spent. Think about the night here. As all the days gone by and what America once was, what our lives once were, the comfort we felt, the easiness of our being able to serve God as we pleased and not have to sacrifice. The night is far spent and those things are over. The time when you could have a little bit of the world and a little bit of the Lord and feel like you were doing okay, that time's gone. You were never okay, but I'm telling you, that time is definitely gone. The time when society even had some respect for God and God's things. The time when our government understood that the freedom of religion needed to be extended to all. The night is far spent. Those things are past. Don't think or be deceived for a minute today that it is not gone. The freedom, the very freedom we have to assemble this morning is only one Supreme Court decision away from being gone. Gone. That's the reality. If we would have said that 6 months ago, a year ago, people would have laughed. Maybe. Some wouldn't have, but some would have. I mean, think about it. Five liberal justices decided that God was wrong. And because God was wrong, America needed to do that which was against God, and it was okay for men and women to get married. But we know what the Bible says, don't we? God defined marriage. Therefore, He has the right to make up the rules which govern marriage and its participants. But now, because of five liberal justices, being an American means that we're okay with that. Being an American means that we accept that, that we are pro that. In a sense, we need to be done being Americans. And I'm as patriotic as the next guy, always have been. But when you look at the flag or you try to do the Pledge of Allegiance and you realize that by pledging allegiance to this flag, you're saying, I believe in the morals that this government has demanded or thrust upon its people now. It's hard to do. Almost impossible. And in considering that and thinking about that, you begin to realize that we already don't have the freedom of religion we once did. Are you free today to believe what we believe about, you know, homosexual marriage, about abortion? Now the government says, yes, you're still free to believe that. But when they have ruled against what we believe, they have in essence taken that right away from us or diminished it to a great degree already. And pretty soon, you mark it down, there's going to be a case before the Supreme Court that says, oh, their preaching hurts my feelings because I was born this way and it's my civil right to be this way. Those five justices are going to say, we agree. They're going to say, no more freedom of that. You believe this. It's what they did to Mordecai and the Jews. And they will do it to us. It's not if, it's not when, it's not possibly. It will come. I mean, just take the homosexual movement. There about, maybe I guess 10 years ago, there was a swing in this country where states were passing laws against it. More than about 3/4 of the states had passed laws that said, it's illegal here. We don't want that here. The federal government had the Defense of Marriage Act that said it was one man and one woman. Poll after poll said that 60, 70, 80% of people in this country did not agree with homosexual marriage. And maybe for a minute we thought we were getting somewhere as a country. But then all of a sudden, all of that turned upside down and look where we are. So don't think for a minute that it can't happen with any other right we have. First, second, fifth, all the way down to the 14th and others. Don't think it can't and won't happen. Because it can, it will, and it already has. It already has. You just go back to the American Revolution and brought it on. They were in the same place then that we are now. And in the pulpits, they were preaching against the tyranny, against the oppression, against the enslavement of the people. And we can't be afraid to preach that today. To believe it. To practice it ourselves and to embody Acts 5:29 where it says we ought to obey God rather than man. This is why we need to have a fire in our hearts, because if you don't have the fire, you're just going to go back into your unawareness. You're just going to go back into the ease and comfort of life. And you're just going to go on living your life, going to work and not thinking about anything until Sunday rolls around, come to church. Don't think about it again until Sunday rolls around, come to church. This thing we're called to do has always been a 24-hour day, 7-day-a-week thing in serving God and His church. It has always been that. But we have gotten by in this country because of a lack of persecution and a friendly form of government. We have gotten by with just a few hours, really. A week. And that's worked out for the churches in America. But we are at the point today where it has got to be 24/7 on our mind, on our heart, standing for God, defending the faith, defending our church, because God has placed us here for such a time as this, right now, at this moment. And it's time for us to decide. We have heard about commitment all of our lives. We've been taught that. It's been instilled in us. Faithfulness, commitment. But where really are we in those things? Do we miss a lot of services? Do we attend other churches? I mean more than just once in a while on vacation. I mean more than that. Are we more concerned about what's going on in other places? Are we more concerned about our lives outside of church and other things? I'm telling you now, if the majority of this church answered those questions yes, then we're going down with this country. What does that mean to you? Let this be a moment where you don't shrink from it and say, man, I hope he shuts up so I can forget about it and go home. Let it be a moment where you grab onto it and say, I'm going to rise above those things. I'm going to forget about it. I'm going to put those things behind and I'm going to press towards the mark. I'm going to embrace all of that and what it means. It will not be comfortable in times to come to church. It won't be. Maybe it already isn't for you. It's not going to be comfortable. You're going to be coming to church, and in the months to come, there are going to be, an environment, if you will, around us that not only looks down on that or is against that, but is actively working to keep us from it. This is how Satan is working in the world today. And he will make it more uncomfortable for you to come to church than he ever has, through the various means in which he is able to do it. It will not be conducive to our normal lifestyle. That's why we must change. It'll not be conducive. So what's going to happen is either you've got to go the way of America and begin to embrace, you know, or at least say, well, I don't really like that, but I'll tolerate it, and go down with her, or cut all of that off and say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to stay with the truth. I'm going to stay with the Lord's church. I'm going to support my pastor. I'm going to support the men of the church. I'm going to support the women of the church, the families of the church, and we're going to stand up together and we're going to serve God together with a great fire and a great zeal. It's not going to be comfortable. It's not going to be conducive, and it certainly is not going to be convenient. It's not. What the government is in the process of doing right now is identifying those that will swallow its message, go along with it, and those that won't. And so they've already begun to do that. It started before this ruling, and it is continuing. The government is seeing which churches, which beliefs, which peoples will embrace it. Churches stood up before saying, oh, we'll not do that. We'll not cower. We'll not give in. But now you see a lot of them accepting, a lot of them not making any kind of noise. And they're being promised things, and the government is getting into the religion business in that way. And so they're identifying those, they're weeding out those that are with it. And that's going to leave a small sect of hopefully the Lord's independent Baptist churches, but probably some others too. It's not going to be these mega churches that have all the money and all the people. No, they're going the way of the world. They're going to die. They're going the way of America. But us, we are going to attract the attention of the government more and more and more. And I say, let them look. Let them watch and let them see. And when they look and when they watch and when they see, let them see what the men who were spying on Daniel saw. Let him see in us a resolve to serve God no matter what the cost. Is that where you are today? Can you make that statement today? Can you say, I'm willing to do that today? Let them do that. There was a time in this country where the government, I guess it was just after we had declared independence and the government, I mean the government of England, they were burning churches. Why? Because the pastors were preaching against the oppression, against the tyranny, and they were standing up against it. They were standing for God, and they burned the churches. What do we say to that today? What do we say to that when we see that happen in time to come? We say, let them burn. That's what we ought to say. We ought to say, throw the torch, light the match, burn it. Because it's not the church. We'll serve God somewhere else. You see the kind of commitment we've got to have today? I mean, that's not going to be an easy thing. That's not going to be conducive to our lifestyle. That's not going to be comfortable to come and worship. When they round us up and say, we're going to burn your building if you don't quit, are we going to quit? Are we going to say, let her burn? When they decide that not only are they going to take our property and burn our buildings, but when they decide we're going to put you in prison for what you believe. Paul and Silas have been there. Paul's been there. Others, countless, throughout the years of Baptist history have been there and done that. So don't say it can't happen because it can. An executive order just like that makes us illegal to believe what we believe. And our president has a pen that has signed more executive orders than any other president in the history of the nation. He's got a little over a year left in his presidency, and don't think that he won't sign an order like that or similar to it. What are we going to do when they come and they say, and I mean enforce, I'm not talking about just one or two, I mean enforce the government coming and saying, if you believe that, not only are we going to burn your church and we say, let it burn, but they say, we're going to take you, put you in prison. What then? We ought to say, let us sing in the chains in the prison house. This is the reality, wake-up call that we need to have today. We've grieved, we've mourned over our country. Now it is time to face facts and to face the times in which we live and be ready for when these things happen. Be ready to defend the faith if it means the loss of property, the loss of freedom, and of course, the loss of life. Esther came to the point where she said, I'll do it, and if I die, I die. And that needs to be what we think. It needs to be what we believe. That needs to be what's burning in our heart today. But I'm telling you what, you're not going to get to this place by being a part-time member. You're not going to get to this place by being a part-time Christian. You're not going to get to this place by putting other things before God. It will not happen. Don't think that you will rise to the occasion if you have not surrendered all to Christ. Won't happen. That's the reality. And maybe you're okay with that. Maybe you're okay with that. I'm not okay with that. I don't want that. I don't want that for me. I don't want that for my family. I don't want that for my church. I love this church so much. I want to see it stand in the face of what we are going up against. Like David against Goliath. And not bend and not bow. But I'd be lying if I said that I wasn't concerned. Because I really don't know where we all stand. Really don't know how committed and how strong we are in the face of this and the times that lie ahead. Truly, we all don't know exactly what we'll do. I'll grant you that. And Peter didn't even know what he would do Maybe Peter was being foolish, but at least Peter had the heart, had the desire, and had the zeal to say, "No, Lord, I'll die for you." Now we know Peter failed in that. He did. But at least he had the heart and the zeal to believe and feel that way. We need to be in preparation for that day. It might be a month, it might be a year, it might never come, I don't know. But you'd better be ready. Because the next year, weeks, months, and years of our life in Christian service to the Lord in this church, in this country, post-mortem, is not going to be anything like it was before. It will not be. So you'd better wake up and get ready for it. Some will hear this and scoff. They'll think, it will never happen here, it'll never happen in this place. It'll happen somewhere else. Some will wonder if it could be true, ponder it for a few moments, and then go back to the ease of their living, go back to the life they've established and the things that they've done. Really unchanged and not, because some will hear this and they'll think, "I'm too old, I'm about to die anyway. What good could I do?" They think, "I've served my years, I've served my time, the Lord's going to call me home any time now, life is going to end, you know, let the younger folk fight that battle." But look around. This is the time God has placed you in. If He wanted that to be so, you would have lived 50 years ago and died then. But you're still alive today. Resolve in your heart to fight the fight. Wake up to this reality. That's what we need to do. I plead with you today not to fall into those categories, but to wake up to the reality of where and what we are living amongst. And the fact that what we do, as Brother Asbury preached, what we do by nature is adversarial. Witnessing to people, preaching the gospel, taking that message. It has always been adversarial, but it is even more so today. Infinitely more. And so we are going to find ourselves in the crosshairs, so to speak. You say, "I don't want that, I don't want that." Well, you know what? If we find ourselves anywhere but the crosshairs, then are we really serving God? Are we really doing anything for the Lord? Are we really delivering for Him? I'd be the last to pray anything upon us as, you know, suffering trials of patience or persecution. But I tell you what, if they don't come and they don't happen, perhaps that means we're dead already. So we need to be resolved today to put all else behind. And I ask you today, can you stand with me? And I know that at times you wonder, why is he so like this? Or why doesn't he like that? Or why doesn't he support this? Or this thing that I like to do or don't like to do. Why is he against those things? I'm telling you that the majority of all of that does not matter. What matters is here and now and serving the Lord and giving everything we've got for that one singular purpose. There's many other things that are well and good in their place. Many other things that are moral and right and all of that. That's great. I'm telling you what, we have got to more than ever be resolved to this purpose now. Stand up and fight, because if not, we will crumble. Defend truth in the face of tyranny, in the face of oppression, not just against the false prophets and the false teachers and those religions that would be against us, but I mean against our own government, against our own police force, against our own National Guard. To not back down and not to give up, not to quit. Even under those threats. So just like in Joshua's time, he talked to the people. He told them, "You've got a decision to make right now today." He didn't say, "Well, think about it for a while," or, you know, "sometime in the future. And if you think it's a good idea, you might want to, you know, make a decision." No, he said, "Today. Choose you this day whom ye will serve." This day, right here, right now. Choose today whether you will be committed fully to this church, to the mission of this church that Christ has given us? Or will you continue on and just go the way that America has gone? We're not tied to her free future. The Lord's New Testament Baptist churches, we can survive even as America goes into, is dead, as we said, into bondage, however you want to think about it. We don't have to go along with her. We can stand against her, and that is our duty as Christians, to stand against that which is wrong. And if the government is the one that is peddling that which is wrong, let us stand even the more and not give in any way, shape, or form. Even if it costs you your comfort, even if it costs you your home, even if it costs you your job, you still got your salvation, you still got your church, you've still got the Lord. We know that He will provide and take care of us. Your life will be far less comfortable than it was before. It will be far less convenient. But I'm telling you what, if you turn your back on your church in the day of adversity, like those in Psalm 78, so they were prepared to battle, and they turned back in the day of adversity. If you turn your back on your church in the day of adversity, you will have failed. The only way that you can be successful in that day of adversity is to prepare now. Draw close to God now. Serve God to the best of your ability with everything you've got now. Let the rest sort itself out. We need that today. We need folks that are depending on each other in prayer, depending on each other in help, depending on each other in support. Coming together in belief and practice, being unified in the things that we do. Not simply coming and leaving and not caring about one another in time to come. Oh, how we need to get a hold of this. How it needs to burn in our heart. Oh, that God would light that fire today like He lit in the heart of Jeremiah. That He would light that fire today and it would burn within us to change the course of our life and what we do. Oh, how badly we need this today to wake up and realize what's going on. That doesn't mean we have to be defeated. That doesn't mean we have to be glum and upset. We know that Christ will have the victory. But how much of the war are we going to have to fight before that day comes? Let us be a soldier committed to the battle. Not to run off to some other place, not to be in some other location, not to put other things before Christ and His church, but this above all. Let it be that. Let us support each other. Who will stand with me today? Who will stand and fight the fight? Who will stand and say, I will give everything for the Lord in this time, in this place, because that's what I've been called to do. Who will do that today? It's a question that needs to be answered. Let's stand. We'll have a verse of